it's time for our talking point. You know, when New South Wales and Australia found out about Gladys Berejiklian's five-year-long secret relationship with a parliamentary colleague, talk of corruption was momentarily put on hold, and we were all left wondering how it had all happened. For so long, with such a public figure, without anybody knowing. And not only that, she just didn't seem to be the type to do something like that. But the New South Wales Premier isn't the first and won't be the last public or private person to have a secret relationship. So tonight, this morning, today, we're asking why? How does it work? How do you keep it secret? Or how do you feel when you find out that someone that you know has been doing something behind your back? For some, like Gladys, there were professional reasons to keep things hush-hush. For others, there are personal reasons. How do these things start? How do you decide that it's going to be kept secret? And then, how do you get out of it? And is it good for you to have a secret relationship? It's not all about affairs, let's make that clear. It might be a secret family. That's even more extraordinary that you can keep that going for a long period of time. Or maybe it's just a friendship that for whatever reason you had to keep quiet because of perhaps cultural or religious reasons. But we'd like to hear from you if you have been part of a secret relationship. We've got a lot of questions, and the right person here to help us answer them is Susan Winter. She is a relationship expert. She's a best-selling author. You can read what she has to say on www.susanwinter.net. And she is our very special guest. Susan, welcome to Overnights.
Well, thank you very much. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine because I have a relationship, but it's no secret.
Okay.
And I wonder, like, what does it do for somebody? I mean, there's that thrill, of course, if you have that secret relationship, but how does that long does that last? I mean, surely you are constantly worried. It's like, you know, being in the war and being behind enemy lines all the time.
Well, there are a number of reasons that you would want to keep a relationship secret. But it should be agreed upon by both people. It's a real diminishment if you are having an affair, a love affair, in private, but you are not shown in public. So that's a separate issue. But in the case of somebody choosing, or a couple choosing, to keep their relationship private, it could be that it's against the workplace code of ethics. It could be that there's political or social fallout because of it. It could be one of shame. It could be that they are, again, only a lover in private. There could be a socioeconomic difference. So, or as you said, it could be adultery, but it's normally made out of discretion. And there seems to be some price, some cost for coming forward and making it public.
Is it more likely that it is basically an affair, though? I mean, as you say, it's a very, very big difference between an affair, where we know why you want to keep it secret, and another relationship where, you know, you've named a lot of things, workplace in particular, perhaps, you know, might be in the army or the military or something like that, where you're not allowed to have an affair with a senior officer, perhaps, or not allowed to have a relationship. I mean, that's it. Also, religious, and there's that sort of thing. There are huge consequences in some countries if you are having a secret relationship, and that is found out, isn't it?
I absolutely agree, and that's a great point that you brought up. There are those that are strategic choices, and it's because it's a lover. So we don't put the lover in the highlighted category of being a partner. So if they're a lover, they may get relegated to this lesser compartmentalization. But if they're a person that we're involved with emotionally, that's hard to keep that secret. That's a lot of work, and it's quite cumbersome, I think.
Now, I mean, you wouldn't be aware of the Premier of New South Wales, like the Governor of a state here, who had a relationship with a colleague for 5 years and kept that secret, and that has recently come out, people were stunned because they just didn't think that was, you know, she'd be the sort of person who would do that. You know, there's an old saying, you know, it's the quiet ones you've got to watch. Is that the case? Is it everybody that does this sort of stuff? Like, it doesn't matter what kind of person you are?
Well, Rod, it had to be a strategic choice. I mean, there had to be forethought in order to do that. You don't just keep that private.
It's okay.
You can hear my little dog in the background. Yes. Or Walker's coming.
The thing is, just about, you know, what we've seen here in Australia recently, and that is not even these people's families knew about what was going on. I mean, to keep it secret from, you know, your workplace, that's one thing, but it means that you never share birthdays or Christmas or celebration with this person, because otherwise everybody would find out. It's a very strange relationship where it's just the two of you, you know, when you're together, and that's it.
I agree. And that's a crazy level of compartmentalization, don't you think?
Yes.
So you have to really ask yourself, why would somebody go to that degree to hide somebody with whom they are truly emotionally bonded? It makes sense, a one-off, a lover, something on the side that you don't want to bring around your friends or your business associates. It's a completely different case if you're hiding your partner. There have to be very strong reasons to do that.
What are some of the things you've heard about the extent that people go to keep things quiet?
Well, in my line of business, I hear more about adulterous affairs or as you mentioned, religious differences, age differences, but it's because there will be fallout socially. Somehow there will be a diminishment of the person's social standing. So they hide it. I've heard of, I won't say any clients, but
don't mention names, but you can speak generically.
Yes, of course, there are agreements that are in place. But you see, the couple has to go over a series of agreements, and if they're smart, they do an upfront what if. What if the press catches us? What if I call you and you are with your other partner? What if I call you at the wrong time? What if somebody sees us together? So they have had to do, whoever has a secret ongoing relationship, not love affair, relationship, there's tremendous groundwork that has to be covered. Lots of pre-planning.
So is it pre-planning? And because do people go into a relationship, a secret relationship like this, and say, right, we're going to do this, we're going to keep it secret, and here are the ground rules for this, or does it just naturally unfold over time?
I think like most relationships, it starts and you think it's not going to get in the way. And then you say, wait, my position, your position. Oh, my goodness. The optics are horrible on this. We have to keep this on the DL. So then there is an agreement between the two as to how to do that. But I don't think people start off thinking, OK, I'm going to hide you. That would be for, you know, a love affair, something. You don't know where you're going to go. You don't know when you meet a person how far or how intensely you will be involved with them until you actually find yourself there, correct?
You can hope, I suppose. I mean, you might meet someone and think, yeah, I hope I'm going to be married to this person. But you don't think, gee, I hope I'm going to be in a secret relationship with you for 20 years. What about...
No.
But what about... And this is, you know, an unbelievable extreme, is when somebody, generally it's a man, has two families where they don't realise that maybe because of his job, you're away 3-4 nights a week or whatever, you don't realise, in fact, he's going to another family. Now, that's extraordinary. How do people manage that?
You know what? As long as you can convince yourself that there's a plausible reason, people can justify any bizarre behavior. They just have to have a really good reason. For example, it could be a morally based reason that works to their favor, like, I love Gladys and I love Sheila, but I don't want to hurt either one. And gee, I've had kids with both, so I've got to do the right thing, but I can't let them know about each other because it's not condoned. So, you know, it's just, they people make things okay in their mind. Mm. How do you do the things that you do, right? I have not ever counseled anybody that's had that situation, but, you know, we have a show here in the U.S. called Catfish, and it was based on somebody online dating,
yeah.
And he had this ongoing relationship with a woman that he thought was a certain woman. Then he finally found out that she was not who she represented herself to be. So whether you're catfished in an ongoing love affair or you're hiding something, people have all sorts of reasons for wanting to involve themselves in the richness of a relationship and not pay the consequence.
Well, that was an amazing film. And, I mean, we've seen that play out in Australia on many occasions with well-known celebrities who were, I don't know, I don't want to say sucked into it because they wanted to believe. We want to hear from people. 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222. Are you in a secret relationship? And by all means, use a pseudonym if you like. If you want to use a fake name, that's okay. Or maybe you've got a question or a comment about this. Sammy's got a great one. Good morning, Sammy. Hello, Sammy.
Morning.
Yes, good morning. Yeah.
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
No, it's not Sammy, it's Sally.
Oh, Sally, I'm sorry, Sally.
How are you?
I'm very well, Sally.
I just called the girl on the
Just tell us, Sally.
And I'm generalising the whole thing. And so I won't be specific, okay? So it's not defamation or anything.
Yeah.
It's become pretty well known in the show business industry that when one person is very super successful, they're gay. They don't want their audience to know that they're gay. They're in a nice arranged marriage and the IVF children come along and nobody's any wiser and everyone's happy and he's got his own partner behind closed doors.
Now, Sally, thank you very much for that. I'm glad you didn't mention any names, but we can mention names from the past. Rock Hudson's a classic example that he, you know, and a lot of these blokes, men mostly, but women, of course, there's always rumours about a lot of female stars. Katharine Hepburn, certainly, not wishing to besmirch her, but that's what it was said, that the studios organised their marriages and they got them married. So where does that fit in? I mean, that's an understandable thing. It's sad, really, and maybe it's going to change now, we hope. But where does that something like that fit in?
Well, in the case of a public celebrity, you're talking that is an economic choice. They don't want to lose the market base. Remember Ricky Martin, La Vida Loca, such a good-looking guy, and they were really, you know, worried about all the young female Latinas that would stop listening to him, and he came out, and it was very difficult for him, and he's got a family, and he's so happy. Times have changed, but, you know, it is all about appearances, isn't it? And whether it is that it's an income stream because you make movies or records, or it is that for whatever reason your base of support is a certain type of person, they wouldn't want to know the dirty little secrets or your private life because it doesn't go with your quote-unquote brand.
Mm. Well, John Lennon wasn't gay, but he was married, and they wanted to keep that secret. A lot of rock stars, they had to, or movie stars for that matter, they had to keep straight marriages, let alone, you know, if they were gay, if they were straight, they kept those secret. Because they didn't want to ruin their brand, because they wanted every girl to think that they could still get married to the boy.
Precisely. Absolutely. And again, it's economics. You know, they're thinking differently. So we have, I think anyone in public life has had to alter many of their day-to-day choices, considering how will this look according to how I am perceived. And it's unfortunate, but we tend to do it, and I would imagine that there is advisement from managers and handlers as to this is the correct choice. You can come out with your relationship later, but not now. You've got this album coming out. We are not ready to see that you're gay yet. You still have a huge fan base. We want it to look like this. So I think people have made all sorts of difficult choices for love, don't you, throughout the ages? They can't be together. They're not allowed to be together. It's not socially sanctioned. It doesn't look good. It's not going to work economically. I think we sacrifice a lot.
Susan Winter is our guest, and I will say Susan has to leave us in about 12 minutes or so for her own radio program. So if you'd like to talk to her, now is the time to call 1-300-800-222, 1-300-800-222. You can tell your secrets. Like Ian, good morning, Ian.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, how are you? Yeah, look, I was very interested to hear about all that because Ricky Martin sort of surprised me, but he didn't surprise me when I thought about it.
Tell me about your own relationships, then.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, well, sure. Well, look, I've had so many secret relationships. I mean, I couldn't even count them. Well, I can't even remember all the girls, but there's so many of them.
Why are they secret?
Well, because I'm married.
So you're married and you've had, what, a dozen, two dozen affairs?
I'd say hundreds.
Hundreds, like long-term, short-term?
Oh, no, no, fairly short-term, most of them, but, you know, absolutely hundreds, if not thousands.
Why do you do it?
Attraction, lust, that sort of thing. It's just I like beautiful women, and but, you know, I go places like Bali and Bangkok and stuff, so it's very available.
Susan, you got any questions for me?
Oh, so how adept are you at hiding this from your partner?
Sometimes not very. In fact, my wife has called up some of these people and and said, you know, things to them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's so old, you know. Oh,
what does she say to you, though, Ian?
Many things, like, but, you know, often she sort of escapes to her family and leaves me, but, you know, such is life.
And comes back.
Do you have children?
Yeah, one child, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the wife has also been guilty of things, so I don't feel any remorse about it at all.
Okay, well, let's not talk about her. We're talking you.
No.
I mean, I don't want you to say things about her. You can talk about yourself.
Oh, no,
that's
no,
fine.
I wouldn't. No, that's fine.
But could I ask, the first time it happened, did you feel guilty? Do you ever feel guilty about it?
I felt guilty when I promised her father I wouldn't do it anymore, and then I went to one of these countries and I didn't, and I looked at it from a very high floor on this hotel I was staying in. I thought, here I am by myself and I'm keeping my promise, but after that I didn't, so I did feel guilty about sort of, you know, saying to him I wouldn't, and then I did, but...
You don't feel guilty to your wife?
No.
Do you think you'll remain married?
I don't care. I really don't care.
Right, yeah, Ian. Thank you very much for your honesty. That's remarkable. Is that unusual to hear that sort of story, Susan?
Well, it's rather forthright. Normally, the people that I work with have a greater sense of guilt. That's why they're calling to get some kind of resolution. But I think that... You know, so you've got a double bind here. The wife obviously knows, feels, and suspects, and her family does. That's why I asked if there was a child, because there's normally a factor that creates the need for a woman to stay with a man. Socioeconomic factor, she needs the money, she's got kids, one of the kids is disabled, she needs help. Most women nowadays, modern women, if they got into what they thought was a committed relationship based in monogamy, they're not going to put up with that. But he's quite cavalier in his attitude, and I would suspect that he, you know, I was told by somebody years ago, the first time you cheat is the hardest, and it tends to be circumstantial. You know, imagine a guy going in an elevator, he's had too many drinks, he's out of town, he's at a convention, a woman gives him the eye, she's out of town, she's had too many drinks, it happens, he feels guilty. The next time he's in an elevator and he's out of town, now he's looking for it. So the first time is the hardest, but if it's habitual, there are underlying problems there that have nothing to do with, you know, it's,
sure.
He's looking for more than sex is what it really is, right?
I find most blokes find it hard to convince one woman to go out with them, let alone thousands. Now, this is, and again, I appreciate everyone's honesty, and 1-300-800-222 is our number. John is with us. Good morning, John.
G'day, how are you today, this evening?
Yes, quite well. John, now, tell us about your secret relationship.
I've been in a secret gay relationship since I was 16, 17.
Is the same person?
And same person, and I'm now 37, and I'm currently married with two children.
isn't it? It's tough to hide it. How's your partner deal with that? Your partner's okay with that?
No one knows about it.
What about...
Yeah, your partner.
Yeah, your wife. I mean, was there a reason you got married? Did you want children? Were you in love?
I've just kept my gay side secret, so no one knows about this secret man.
Do you think that things have changed now that, you know, gay marriage is legal? You know, that has that changed how you feel?
Yeah, kind of, but I come from a very strict religious family. Like, we're very strong Catholics.
Yeah. All right, Susan.
May I ask, I was actually asking about your gay partner. You're loving all these... Is he married as well and going through the same situation?
No, he's fully out.
And does he put any pressure on you?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Wow. Good man.
How do you see this playing out, John? Do you think that at some point your marriage will end and you'll be with this other man?
No, I don't think so.
Would you like it to be that way?
No, I love my missus too much.
How do you feel? I mean, have you sought help?
Occasionally I have. When I was younger, I did. But now I just live with it.
Susan, any other thoughts?
Well, it's a burden on us to not be able to live our truth, to always have to hide the truth of who we are. That's an ongoing burden that this man lives with every day. But he's made a concrete choice for very specific reasons. He loves his wife, probably loves his family, and has a desire to express himself sexually for true happiness with a man. So the partner that he has, the sexual partner, is not the love of his life, it doesn't sound like to me. But they have an agreement, they have an arrangement, and it's working. You know, so I personally deal in what I call evolutionary relationship designs, because the more we get into traditional relationships and try and suppress the authenticity of it, the more odd it becomes. I mean, I would rather people start off right in the beginning and say, hey, this is what I know about myself. This is what I'm capable of doing. Monogamy, not so sure. Might be a little gay, don't know. And then everything's honest and upfront. But you're dealing with traditional love models, you know, marriage, monogamy, heterosexual couples. So there's not a lot of room for deviation in a case like that.
John, have you thought about what would happen if your wife found out, or do you think she knows?
I'd say she'd be devastated. And I get no pleasure from seeing my male partner. It's just something that I do twice a month, and afterwards I'm like heartbroken. But I still do it for some stupid reason.
Well, it's because, I suppose,
it's your nature. That is who you are. It's okay. You're trying to live two lives. It's very difficult to straddle both.
We wish you the best, John, and let's hope that it does not all end in tears. Susan Winter is our guest. Maybe if you're a man and you would like some help, 1-300-766-491 is Men's Line Australia. That's 1-300-766-491. And Lifeline, 13-11-14, if you think that you might need somebody to talk to about this. Susan Winter is our guest. We've only got Susan for a couple more minutes. Joyce rang to say that with multiple partners, what about keeping your initial partner safe from diseases? I mean, that's a huge problem these days. I mean, you feel guilty about having an affair, that's one thing, or multiple affairs. How guilty would you feel if, you came home and, you know, it could be HIV, it could be syphilis, it could be gonorrhea, it could be anything like that?
That is often the way the truth is revealed. It comes out and the wife says, wait, how did I get this disease? Yeah, or the husband,
Is it different with same-sex couples, do you think? The way that these secret relationships go?
It would be, okay, so a lot of the people I work with have a very fluid version of their sexuality. I know my lesbian clientele that are dating girls that are bi would be really upset if that bi girl went to be with a guy. But in a bi world, that's normal for her. So I think anybody in a committed relationship would be upset if you deviate in any way with any sexual preference on the outside. That's just not cool. So monogamy is you and me. That's it, right? As far as same-sex couples, that's it's exactly the same. If you're fooling around on the outside, it would be considered a violation of that contract.
Now, Adam has texted in. He says, I'm 55, happily married for 30 years, and currently I'm on an unstoppable freight train heading right into an affair with a 20-year-old beautiful model. I know it will hurt me in the end, but wow. I mean, how much of this is, you know, midlife crisis kind of stuff, maybe? Not that I wish to characterize what Adam says as midlife crisis, but it certainly sounds like.
It's life. He thinks he's being offered something that he's not getting at home. I have to be honest, long-term relationships, you and I both know, they're a lot of work. After the honeymoon phase, it kind of gets to be, you know, like, did you take out the garbage? Did you pay the insurance this month? The garage door doesn't work. You know, it kind of can be like that. It is a lot of work to keep that spark alive. So almost all couples, and especially parents who become mom and dad, or dad and dad, mom and mom, it gets routine. You're talking more about the logistics of the day and what has to be done as a family. And the lover can dissipate. The person that was in shape and so good looking becomes out of shape and they don't care and they don't want to have sex with you anymore. And that's part of the contract. And this is why people sometimes notice and then pursue someone outside of the relationship. And it happens. It does happen. It's interesting that this caller knows that there's a price to pay and is walking right into it and willing to pay for it. Just remember, if you've got kids, you're going to have to answer to them why you did it. So think of your answer now, because you will have to tell them when they find out.
Okay. Just before you go, how do you get out of a long-term secret relationship?
You mean to break up with the person or to come out?
Because, well, I mean, either way. But I mean, if you're breaking up with someone that you've been, you know, in a secret relationship with, I mean, the potential there is that they are going to reveal that secret, and, you know, it's almost like a blackmail situation. You've got to stay with me, otherwise I'm going to tell someone.
You have to be quite diplomatic and tactful. It is bad as a breakup, but, you know, you got to think. You were doing it the whole time anyway, so there's a lot of stuff going on underneath here. They've got a lot on you, and you've got a lot on them. It probably goes both ways. A breakup with a secret relationship is the same as a breakup in a regular relationship. It's going to hurt. Sometimes the other party becomes vicious and vindictive. You don't know. You want to do it as cleanly as possible. Breakups are never easy.
I know you're busy, and I really appreciate the fact that we've had time to talk this morning. I certainly hope we can do it again. Susan Winter, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this tremendously. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Definitely do it again. Thank you very much, Susan Winter, who is a relationships expert and a best-selling author. But look, hey, that doesn't mean that we should not continue this discussion. And look, there are some numbers